Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the very first AAA Car Conversations With. In these conversations, we're going to be talking to some very interesting guests. So keep watching the AAA Northeast Facebook page for posts. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking to people from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. I reached out to buddy Wayne Carini from Chasing Classic Cars. Maybe he'll tell us how to find a classic car and not lose money on it, which I usually do whenever I've tried. Also, maybe we'll talk about some electrification. But on our very first one here, just in case you're either having a little problem with the link or you want to go find it afterwards, it will be on AAA's YouTube channel and podcasts and other places where you can find it. But today's guest is Ryan Negotti. He is according to his LinkedIn page, you are a chief designer, head of Ram, Dodge, SRT Studios, and Interior Systems. Hey, Ryan, thanks for joining us. And hopefully, wherever you were, there wasn't a hurricane last night. So
No. Here in Michigan, so we're doing good. Just a little wet weather here and there, but yeah, we can handle that.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get to where you are and what you're doing and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so sounds good. So I've been at FCA, formerly Chrysler, for 17 years, which the time has flown by fast. I graduated from the Cleveland Institute of Art. That's where I got my degree in industrial design, which allows you to kind of dabble in automotive, toys, products, a little bit of everything. And I actually grew up with my dad being a toy designer when I was little. And so that design background kind of was all around me. Friends, family, they were all designers. So for me, it was kind of like I was going to go to school, kind of brush up on my skills, and honestly go back to where I grew up, East Aurora, New York, just outside of Buffalo, to work for Fisher-Price Toys. And while at school, a couple of my friends were car nuts. They were all about cars. And they said, hey, come to the Saturday car class. Chrysler comes down for General Motors to teach the class. And I said, sure, why not? And really just started kind of falling in love with the idea of making toys for big girls and boys. So it was kind of a natural fit. I made sure I left my options open, and luckily got the opportunity to come here at Chrysler and really start my career. And honestly, First day I was there, we were working the weekend, and it's been just nonstop ever since. Started in our exterior studios that really also did interiors at the same time. Worked on a bunch of mid-size, large-size SUVs, and then got the opportunity to kind of dabble on interiors. And we hadn't really broken away interiors from the exterior studio until this point in time. And this was for the 2009 Ram, and it was really just an evolution of even just how we went about designing an interior. Thought about it from day one, and really made sure we were putting the money in there. And it was kind of nice to get in almost from day one of kind of a new way of designing interiors. And then I've been in the interior group ever since, and worked on a lot of cool products, Viper and Rams, and just a lot of stuff. A lot of fun projects, so I can't complain. And then we just launched a few vehicles over this last couple months through obviously this new world that we're in digitally, but it was kind of nice.
Your father didn't, and I may have the wrong company, your father didn't have anything to do with the Cozy Coupe, did he?
No, that was Little Tykes.
Oh, no, okay.
But I another maybe just as famous type of thing, bubble lawnmower, which a lot of kids had growing up, was something that my dad worked on, and so he's pretty proud of that. So little people lines and everything in between. But I loved being the toy tester at home. That's what I was.
I bet. Over the years on my radio show and as the president of the New England Motor Press Association, I've had opportunity to talk to different designers, and really, I'm always amazed at how you guys get your inspiration. I remember talking to a designer once, and he loved kind of appliances from the 20s and 30s and 40s. And he actually took a curve from an Art Deco Electrolux vacuum cleaner and use that curve angle to do a fender. And I remember talking to Jay Mays when he was at Ford, and he said to me, well, I go to Target a lot and wander around Target and find out what the hot colors are. Do you do the same thing?
There's, you know, as a designer, you are, everything you do during a day, a year, I know myself, I'm thinking about, you know, how I'm interacting with that product, what catches your attention. And I would say this day and age too, with just the things like Target, where you have really good aesthetic products at a low cost price. You know, that many, I think people are more in tune to good design in that sense. And so it's very important to be in tune. I think on my side, I do look at the product type stuff. Being in interiors, I think of our interiors as like hundreds of products kind of all working together flawlessly, you know, to really make up an interior. And I am more about the details. So I'm more about, you know, the precision elements of, say, you know, a watch type detail within the mechanics of how that watch functions. And so elements like that for me kind of get my juices flowing about making something that functionally works for an interior, but at the same time that obviously aesthetically looks cool. But I find myself, no matter what I'm doing, even if I'm supposed to be on vacation, you know, I'm thinking about how to make our, you know, our products better and how to kind of come up with the newest thing.
How do you not make a mistake, I guess? You know, you kind of look back at some of the, you know, whether it's, I remember there was a company that wanted to, their words, jazz up the interiors of their cars. And this was in, I think, the early 80s, and they did plaid. You know, and to me, design tends to be timeless. It's something that you look at 30, 40, 50 years later, whether it's, you know, a Volkswagen Beetle or, you know, Fiat Spider, or, you know, it still looks good later on. Plaid doesn't look good in a car, you know. It's you know, so how do you keep, you know, you look at things like some of that, and, you know, you look back at clothes of the 70s and 80s, and, you know, they were cool in the 70s and 80s, but 2020, not so much.
I think you gotta be, like you said, you gotta be cautious in the amount that you do. I know we love doing, if it's for our Jeep lineup, we go off and do Moab builds, you know, for sort of the Easter Jeep Safari, SEMA. And some of these areas where we are able to dabble, you know, with some of this content, some of these ideas that maybe we see, is this something that we're on the cutting edge, you know, emerging type of feel, and get reaction. That's the best way to do it. So you give it out in small doses. You're not going to drop it on maybe your vehicle that needs to make all the money, right? And if you make a blunder, obviously that's a big, that's a big deal, right? So for us, it's getting these opportunities like Moab, like SEMA for our Dodge products. We have a great LX Festival out west that all of our Challenger, Charger 300s, all the consumers, you know, that are just wild about those vehicles are, you know, have an entire event dedicated to that. And we go there and we talk to the consumers. And I think that's a lot of it too, is just kind of see what they're doing to their own vehicles and kind of get that inspiration a little bit. But again, small doses, right? I think, like you said, it, you know, to pull a whole ream of plaid and lay it on the front seats might not be timeless, but maybe small doses of some of that stuff in a good way, I think is kind of nice. I know we've taken chances on some of our Ram products with like our Laramie Longhorn, limited Longhorn line. And I think, you see that, hey, not every vehicle is for everyone, and that's part of it too. And I think we have the ability for, like, say, our truck lineup to spread the wealth and know that there is, you know, hundreds of thousands of trucks out there, and we're okay to give a little bit of uniqueness, almost like to make it feel like that truck is built a little bit more for them. So I think it's important to add some of this stuff. We can't just get away with all black interiors. I think after a while, people would be, all right, I'm not a fan of your products anymore. So I think that's important to give small doses.
You mentioned going to SEMA and events like SEMA. Do you also go to just smaller car shows and car museums and art museums for that matter?
Yeah, I think you look at most of the people that I work with, you know, they're artists at heart. So they are going to art museums, art shows, art festivals. You know, just even some of the people that we don't traditionally think that are in our office, you know, there's a lot of people that are in tune to, you know, sort of that realm and get outside your comfort zone. So yeah, there's luckily that's the best part about living in Michigan here is car shows aplenty. You know, with the world we're in, it's a little dialed back, but there's still the ability to get out there and kind of be outside and have fun. And I think it's key. It's key to see what was done in the past, what is still something that people then gravitate to. I know, you know, kids see a Viper going down the road from like 94, 95, 96, and it to them looks like a brand new car. And I think that's key for us is designing a vehicle inside and out that is something that still grabs attention 25 years later.
Yeah, that's important, I would think, absolutely. And because I'm old, I remember when the Ram was introduced, and arguably today's Ram interiors are the nicest of any trucks on the planet. But I remember when the Ram was introduced and you guys were building the Auburn Hills plant offices,
yeah,
and designers and engineers kind of walked the construction site to look to see how people were using their trucks. And it wasn't just at the time Dodge trucks, it was Chevy trucks and Ford trucks. And said, you know, hey, you know, we never thought that people use laptops in their trucks, so we ought to put, you know, space and plug-in points and, you know, coffee cups. We didn't think that,
yeah,
you know, we needed diet cup holders, you know, things like that. Do you still do those things to this day?
Yes, you know, us as a company get out there and we do consumer research just to find how people are using their vehicles. You know, we'll often get products that we're about to launch and kind of get sort of a positioning, you know, of how they feel in the marketplace, you know, maybe how we want to tailor our marketing. I love going to those events, you know, when we're able to, and actually, like you said, go out in the parking lot. While maybe we've gotten 30 or so truck customers in, and actually just, you know, peek in and kind of see what they do in their interior. In many cases, then we're lucky enough to have them come out and actually explain maybe some things that they've done to their vehicle or ways that they use their vehicle that we've never even imagined. And I think it's important. You kind of want to get to the point of sharpening, you know, your knife in terms of how you're creating these products. I think that's for us is good. We kind of started our revolution with the interiors in 2009. And I feel we've kept sharpening that knife to just really refine, you know, it takes many years for, I think, someone to realize what you've done to your vehicle. You're not going to get people to change overnight. So I think it's important to just keep pounding and keep, you know, the efforts going. And hopefully we're seeing that, you know, in the marketplace and the sales.
Do you ever just when a vehicle is introduced, and I know you always do focus groups and all kinds of stuff, but do you ever just sometimes kind of sit in the background and wear a disguise and, you know, and just sort of listen and see what people are saying?
Yeah. And in a lot of cases, we actually try to not even, if we are at those events, we don't wear branded stuff. So they might think we're just one of the participants, you know, and it's great to listen in. You know, it's obviously you know, it's a knife going in if they're really complaining about something, you know, that you spent, you know, years and years working on. But it's there's a lot of gratitude in seeing what's worked, you know, and it's okay if something hasn't worked. I think one of the benefits of our company too is how quickly we can pivot and we can make those changes, listen to customers, and apply those to the next product coming down the pipeline.
Yeah. When you're trying to put products like this together and you have to work with your engineering staff and I suppose even your legal team to mm-hmm. do some things, how is that synergy work and, short of, fist fights that might happen sometimes. how does it all work? How does it work together where, maybe you came up with a great design idea and the engineers go, ain't going to ever happen. Or, you and the engineers go, this would be fantastic. And the lawyers go, what are you, out of your mind?
Yes.
How does that work?
That relationship building is so crucial. If, we do a lot of work back and forth with schools now, and that's one of the things that I am constantly reminding everyone. You might be the best designer in the world. You might be the hottest sketcher in the world. If you cannot go into an environment and work well with others, explain your ideas without just throwing something down on a table and saying, go do it. That's very important. That is, you might be a mediocre designer, but someone that has great personal skills, and you're probably going to go further, in this world and in this community of designers, just because of that, because of the working relationships. And I think it's important. I know on our truck side, having myself wear multiple brands, I know I feel closer in some cases to some of the Ram guys because they, that team has been together pretty long and working on these, these iterations of the product. And I think that's important that you build that relationship. They understand where you're coming from. I love it when they come to us and say, hey, I know you kind of wanted to do this, but what if we spent a little bit more money? What if we spent a little bit more time and did it like this? And it's shocking in some cases because you're like, you're not supposed to tell me that, type thing. Yeah. And it's nice that relationship. There's always going to be a little bit of battles, little internal battles, and that's how the product just gets better. As you can kind of work through that stuff and get there. And yeah, from a legal side, there's a lot of cool things that I think both designers, engineers, everyone would want to do. But we got to realize at the end of the day, these products aren't just something that's sitting on someone's desk at home. Obviously, people are driving them, they're behind them, and you have to keep safety in mind for sure. So that's the best part. But that's, my job as an industrial designer is to take all of those inputs and then still come up with some creative, creative products.
Yeah, no, it is. And like you say, your company, I think, is one of, one certainly that is able to pivot quickly. It's able to change. I remember, and I got this quote from way back when, many, many years ago at Chrysler, when the then chairman of Chrysler walked into the engineering room and it said, we can build them fast, cheap, or good, pick two out of three. And now, the last time I was talking to your folks, you guys just killed it on the JD Power studies. You guys are at the top of the quality rankings now. And a lot of the quality issues, when I talk to people, are interior issues, and you guys solve that.
Yeah, it's been nice to see those results, see the affirmation of all the work. It's one of the things with automotive is it takes a bunch of years. It takes 3 to 4 years to come out with a product. So you got to realize that in some cases the results won't come immediately. So it's nice to see that momentum growing, and I love that it's not us having to then kind of keep beating that statement, that we can have some of these organizations like JD Power say, no, we stand behind, the products, the quality, for us, the interiors. It's great. It's humbling at the same point in time, because it can change, very instantly, right? And so we want to kind of stay up at the level that we're at and keep pushing for, for the best products out there.
So you're going to tell us about the new Hellcat powered charger pickup truck?
I would love to get into everything that we have coming down the pipeline one way or the other. But no, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff. That's, that's one of the things about my role of having different hats is we kind of end with something and we start off then the next project right away. But we got a lot of cool stuff coming down the pipeline, and it's a great time to be in the business.
Now, somewhere I think I read that you recently got married. Is marriage change your design, how you look at things?
A little bit, yeah. So it'll be coming up on 2 years, 2 years in October here. And no, I think it gets back to that relationship of, you know, not just me and what I like, you know, it's what obviously us as a couple, us as a family likes as well too. So I sometimes put my design hat down for a second, and I now listen at home to what my wife Elisa is into, and I'm just the doer, I'm the worker at that point in time, which I don't mind. That's all good.
There you go. You talked about earlier about young people getting into design and some of the events that were sponsored, and Chrysler had a design event recently. You know, for younger people, high school and college, and maybe high school kids going into college, this is a pretty exciting field to be in, and certainly something that, you know, how do you encourage them to kind of do this and follow the path that you did, for instance?
It's an interesting conversation, because I think we live in a bubble here in Michigan. So for sure, there's a lot of jobs and a lot of that ability. But it's amazing, even here in Michigan, how many schools and organizations really still don't understand this side of the business. They, in most cases, I think if someone says, you're a designer, they actually think of you immediately as an engineer. And not as the artistic side of the creative side of the business. So it really, over the last couple of years, we've drilled down to middle schools and high schools. You know, obviously colleges we've always been strong in, but it's getting out and going to those events, and just also more so talking to the parents, teaching the parents about that side of it, because I think everyone feels, oh, art related, you're not going to have a good career, you know, or that's just something you can do on the side. And it's nice to explain that it's a very great field for someone that's creative, especially industrial design, is tinkering, knows what to do in that standpoint. I know STEAM and STEM, you know, situations from the school standpoint, teaching technology, mechanics, you know, engineering is very important, and you add the art side of it in there, and it can be a pretty pretty great profession. And really it's just getting out there doing events like we do the Drive for Design that you were mentioning, and getting now more national recognition for that. And I think it's great. It's such a small community, no matter what designers are, you know, it's a small piece of the entire puzzle at work. But it's a great job. I love it, and I encourage all the kids out there to at least be drawing and be creative, because even if that's something that you're not getting into, it's a way to release. It's a way to kind of step away from maybe stuff happening, you know, in the day to day, and kind of dream in that sense, right? And dream on paper. And it's a great thing to encourage.
Do you still sort of just sketch when you're bored, or you go to the beach, or, you know, do you always have a pad and a pencil in your hand, or I guess now maybe an iPad?
I have an iPad now more so than not, but I usually carry around a pen. Usually have a pen, you know, sitting behind my ear at some point in time always, you know. And so it's, you relish those opportunities. You know, as you are more experienced in your career, you definitely tend to be in more meetings and more of that collaboration stuff phase, and less what we say on the board. But I do get any opportunity I can. I think one of the best things too is our staff is nimble in the terms of the amount of designers we have. So I find myself jumping in at times when we need to. But then it's also, you know, stuff around the house, right? Having fun elsewhere, you know, you have to kind of sometimes make up for it, right? So that's not
bad. I would think you would. And you know, do you still design toys?
I last couple of years been busy. But before that, I would do some freelancing here and there, kind of helping out that standpoint. So it's kind of fun to think about that. I sort of think about it in a different sense, and I'm building toys for big girls and boys. So it's a little bit of that same mindset, you know, just tweak a little bit.
Before we let you go, Did you have anything to do with hiding the Easter eggs around the Jeeps?
I worked on some of, so in 2011, I worked on the Wrangler interior when we refreshed that interior. And just in around there, a little bit before that, we kind of started hiding the Easter eggs. So I've been definitely been a part of it. I know the exterior guys, Mark Allen, the head of our Jeep exterior team, he loves doing that, those little Easter eggs, even to the standpoint, I know Ralph usually is good with it. He's like, don't tell me about them. Don't tell me where they're at. You know, it's like, I want to find them out myself. So it's fun. We try to not go too overboard, but I think in small doses, it's great to kind of have fun. You know, I think the designers get a kick out of having the ability to do it. And we love it when the engineers are all about it too, you know, and they help us, make it happen.
Yeah, I bet. And if people want to find out more information about products in general or a little bit more about the company, FCA.com, what's the best way?
Yeah, FCAgroup.com. I think we'll get you to our corporate site, and then from there, it will drill out. I know if you look up the hashtag, you know, Drive for Design, that will get us to some, you know, some of the posts that we've had. For more of the design side of the business. And we have a great team that helps really get out information if people have questions about, you know, industrial design, automotive design, and where maybe schools within your area and where you live that maybe could help specialize that and kind of get it out there. I know, I remember Ralph telling us too, when he was little, he wrote a note to the CEO at that point in time, or the head of design. And in some cases, that's what ends up happening. You know, it's okay to kind of write those personal notes to some people that you know, and that's maybe how you get interested in the business. So we're here to help and kind of groom the next group of girls and boys to jump into design.
There we go. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us on the very first AAA Car Conversations with. I also want to thank our executive producers, Alex Slatke and Mark Shieldrop, for doing all the stuff behind the scenes. And also, I want to encourage everyone to join my colleague Robert Sinclair Jr. next Thursday when he chats with Russ Rader from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. And of course, if you want to email me any questions or comments about today's program, the easiest way to do it is go to AAA.com/car doctor. Ryan, thanks for being on Car Conversations with. Be well and stay safe.
Thank you very much, John.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.